Continuing our study in Romans chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 15 and 16 this morning. We'll read verses 15 through 17 to give us a bit of context. Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto the many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which believe abundance of, which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. This portion of Scripture is not an easy portion of Scripture to understand, because it's talking about the offense of one, who is Adam, and its effects of that sin. When Adam sinned in the garden, it affected the whole human race. All of us are sinners. All of us need to be saved. And Jesus Christ made it possible for all man to be saved. But in this passage of Scripture, it's talking about a gift. And this gift is for the many. And it's talking about even the fact that the many have died. The word "the" dead is aorist. The many died. And so therefore it's confusing when you think about what Adam's sin brought upon the human race, where all are sinners. And yet in this portion of Scripture we're talking of, or reference is being made to the many. Obviously, the many are included in the all when it comes to sinners. All of us are sinners. Even the many that is referred to in this passage of Scripture are sinners. And so this is not an easy passage to comprehend. At least I worked on it, and hopefully I can make it simple enough for you to grasp at least what my thoughts are on it, and hopefully they'll make sense. The gift in this passage of Scripture is for the many. And it's in contrast to all that have died because of Adam's sin. It's talking about the many and the gift for the many. Okay? But not as the gift, so also is the free gift. And by the word free gift is from one Greek word, charisma. And in the word charisma, is to be associated with life for the age. And I will show you that in just a moment. For if through the offense of one, that is Adam, the many be dead. And obviously they are, and so is all, for that matter. But what Paul is trying to do is to get us focused on a different group of people. Because he wants to talk to that specific group of people about a gift. This gift is not being saved. This gift is beyond salvation. And it's the gift of God for the many that have been called unto His kingdom and glory. Now let's continue. Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abound unto the many. Again, the word many is having the definite article before it is a reference to this group of people. And notice that there's another gift in this passage of Scripture. This gift is a different Greek word, though I'm persuaded that they are both equal to the same thing. This is just simply a method that God used to hide truth so that not everybody is exposed to it. because it's very important for you to realize that whom much is given will much be required. I can remember to this day in the training meeting last in the Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, actually in Hickson, Tennessee. I was teaching people how to study the scriptures. And a fellow and I was bringing out the fact that you hear the truth, you're responsible for it. And this guy stood up in the back and he says, you mean to say that I'm going to be responsible for what you teach and what I do with it? I said, you are. He says, don't say another word. And he left. He walked out. Now there's a certain amount of wisdom in that. There's some people that want to know a lot of truth, but you know what they become? Smart sinners. What good is that? If you don't respond to what you hear. So God is in the business of hiding truth because to whom much is given, much will be required. And if you get much and you don't respond to that, you're going to be beaten with many stripes. Now, I don't consider that necessarily literal, but I think it's figurative. It's something I'm not going to like. I've had a beat. I've had a spanking. You know? And the thing about it is this, I got over it. But being beaten with many stripes is something the Lord's going to do, and you're not going to like it, and it may last a little longer than you think. Okay? Let's go on. So, we're talking about the many, a particular group, and it is a gift. And the gift comes by grace. We have grace gift. That's the first gift. And by the way, there's a definite article, the, before the word gift. So it's talking about a particular gift. Okay? And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift. And this word here, gift, is the second word, gift, in Ephesians 5:15. If this is salvation, does salvation only come by measure or a limited portion? No. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're instantly into the family of God, and it doesn't come inch by inch or mile by mile. But when it comes to the gift, it is given by portion. Now, if you're on the left hand or on the right hand of the Lord in the coming kingdom, you know what that means to me? You're going to need extra grace to endure. You're going to need the extra power of Christ to make it. A king is going to need more, is going to receive a greater portion. If you're a king of kings, you're going to have a greater portion. And you're going to need a greater portion of grace. If you're a Lord, you won't need as much. Because the trials and testings won't be as severe. Or will be less. Because when John and his brother wanted to sit on the right and the left hand, the Lord said, hey, you guys don't know what you're asking for. He says, you're going to have to drink the cup that I'm going to be drinking. Talking about crucifixion, physical crucifixion, and suffering physically. But anyway, so grace according to the measure of the gift. And it's of Christ. It's not of Christ. The gift isn't Jesus Christ, it's from Jesus Christ. Okay? In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, the wages of sin, that is the sin, and we have studied this already, the sin is the sin of lawlessness. If you're living a lawless life, your wages, you're going to earn a reduction in rank. In fact, you may even lose your position of rank. Honor and glory in the coming kingdom. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift, charisma, of God is age-lasting life. Now this is the other Greek word. The grace gift is life for the coming age, the kingdom age. That's the gift that we're talking about in Romans chapter 5, verse 15. And it uses two different Greek words, but they both mean the same. So what I've done right now in Romans 6, 23 is to show you that the gift, and it has a definite article before it, charisma, the grace gift of God, or is life for the age, age-lasting life. Remember this, that the word eternal comes from a Greek word meaning age. It's an adjective. It's actually a noun used as an adjective describing the life. And it's the age life. It's the age of the kingdom. It's life of the coming kingdom. Okay? Now, in John chapter 4, we will see the other gift. Jesus answered and said unto her, that is, the woman at the well, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now salvation isn't living water. Salvation is the birth, being born into the family of God. Water is something we drink, we ingest it. It's something we taste. I'm just thinking about water that we taste. In the spring, when you take a shower in the spring, what do you taste in the water? I taste onions. You know, because of the, you know, the plant life coming to life, and it affects the taste of the water. It doesn't taste that way now. But anyway, water is something you ingest, something you taste, something you drink. Okay? And in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, it talks about being tasting this gift. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, these are those who have eyes to see, and have tasted the heavenly gift. And the word to taste is to eat, and it doesn't mean to be born. You don't get born from above by tasting anything. Okay? So, and it's a heavenly gift. That heavenly gift is Doria, which is age-lasting life. Now, where do we get the word, where do we get the association? Well, we get it out of John 4, 14. But whoso drinketh, and by the way, this is in the present tense. This is not a gulp. This is not a sip. This is an ongoing process. I'm drinking. I'm drinking. Drinking what? I'm drinking the living water. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing. That's also in the present tense. It's a continual process of springing up unto or leading to life of the age. The word everlasting comes from the word ion, which we get, which is an adjective meaning age or age-lasting life. And that life is in the kingdom. When I think about being saved and in the family of God, that's forever. And that's in English. Okay? That's not in Greek. It's forever. But when it comes to ruling and reigning, we're talking about a particular age, and that's the millennial age. Okay? So here we see that the Doria is what? Age-lasting life. So I want you to see that there are two gifts presented in Romans 5:15. One is called the grace gift, not free gift, grace gift, and the other is the gift by grace. it's the grace of God that allows us to serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. It's the grace of God that honors His strength and power. If we don't have the grace of God, then we're serving God in our own strength. You know what that is? That's wood, hay, and stubble, which is nothing in the world but good firewood, kindling. Okay? Now, back to Romans 5 and verse 15. But the free gift, or the grace gift, is for the many. It is not like the transgression of all of the sinners. Now, I use the NASB to show you how they translated the first part of this verse. And it helps you to see the contrast. He says, but the free gift, or the grace gift, is not like the transgression. The transgression of Adam fell on all man, everybody. But the gift is for the many. So that's the contrast here. I want you to see that. Adam's sin affected everybody in the human race. But the gift is only going to affect the many that are called unto His kingdom and glory. By the way, the Lord has the privilege of doing this. People call this exclusivism. In words, God's not treating all of His kids the same. Obviously, when you read the New Testament, you find that that is absolutely the fact, the truth. When Jesus Christ took His apostles to the Mount of Transfiguration, He didn't take them all. He took Peter, James, and John. He didn't treat all of His apostles the same, though they were all had the same office. There were some apostles that had privileges that the others did not have. And that's the way it's going to be in His family. The firstborn rule and reign. Or those who have the firstborn inheritance, they're going to rule and reign in the family. That means that they have exclusive rights that the other kids don't have. And that's the way it's going to be in the family of God. Here's the thing that we need to be warned about, is that we can disqualify ourselves from being the head of the family. We can disqualify ourselves by living in sin and practicing sin. We can disqualify ourselves from ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom and hearing a well done, thou good and faithful servant. You don't lose your salvation. That can never change. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in the faith. But you better be faithful to Him, regardless of whether you've been called or not. Because let me tell you, the just get a double portion in the land outside of the land flowing with milk and honey. And that's not all bad. That's a double portion. It's just not in the most preferable place of position or place of it, as far as this, the inheritance of the nation of Israel is concerned. Okay. Now, by one man, all have sinned. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's everybody. That's what happened to Adam when Adam sinned. And I just reaffirm the fact in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, by the way, that includes the many. The many were sinners and were dead in their trespasses and sins as well. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. Whether you're called or not, you're to live not for yourself, but you're to live for God. He saved you for a purpose, and that purpose is to live for Him and to honor Him. Okay? Now, in Acts chapter 2, we find another reference to the gift, the doria. Okay? In Acts 2:38-39, it says, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. The word remission means deliverance. And this message that Peter was preaching right here, as well as in the other portion of it, had to do with the kingdom message. That's what John the Baptist preached, repent and be baptized. That's what Jesus preached, repent and be baptized. That's what the 70 preached. Repent and be baptized, and you'll be delivered from sin. Sin won't have the power over you. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, people think that if you do this, you'll get the Holy Ghost. If you're saved and you are, before you are baptized, you've got to be saved, okay? And if you're in the family, you have already received the Holy Spirit. When you are born from above, I believe you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So I'm not looking to receive the Holy Spirit. So therefore, the gift should not be associated with me receiving the Holy Spirit. It's the gift from the Holy Spirit. And I put this in here so you can see it. The word of is in the genitive case in the Greek. And that means that you can translate that of or from. And it makes better sense to me to translate it from the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? I didn't put this in the notes, but let me just give you this input. I think it's in John 16. It's the Holy Spirit that does the teaching of this truth. You're not going to get this if the Holy Spirit's not teaching it to you. And He is going to show us things that belong to the Lord. And so the Holy Spirit is the one who is negotiating us in the truth of the Scriptures that we can be found faithful and qualified to stand in His presence and prove and rule and reign. Now, let's continue here. It says here, and you shall receive the gift from the Holy Ghost for conjunction. We're to tie verse 38 with verse 39. For the promise. There is a definite article before the word promise, and the word promise is singular in number. This is a very important promise. It's the promise. And this promise is not offered to everybody. It is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, Gentiles, as many as the Lord our God hath called. This promise is for the call. This promise has to do with the gift. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, it defines the promise. And this is the promise that He hath promised, even age-lasting life. You know what the promise is? It's rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. What is required? Repentance. Baptism is associated not with the act, but dying to self. You don't bury live people. Baptism is a burial. You bury dead people. Those who have died to self. Okay? Now, and this promise of age-lasting life is offered to those who were to be delivered from the power of sin in their life. And you need to die to sin. Okay? Now, the Gentiles experience this in Acts chapter 10. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth, present active, in him shall receive remission of sins. Part of dying to self is believing in the present tense. Not aorist, which would be salvation. This is in the present tense. They're going to receive deliverance. Now let me share this with you. We're not delivered once from sin. Did you know that? It'll dog you for the rest of your life. But you know what? It doesn't have to be in charge. You sin, I sin, you know what? I confess, you confess. Clean. And so therefore, deliverance from sin is not an event, it's a process. Ongoing. One event after another. Sin, confess. Sin, confess. I sin, don't know it. Read the Bible, read the Scriptures. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. That's important to read the Bible. It provides cleansing from sin you don't even know you're doing. But let me tell you, I know that there's a lot of sin in our life that we are not aware of. And I tell you, I make it a point to read the scriptures. And I'll say this, I make it a point to read my devotional scriptures on Sunday morning before I come for breaking of bread. I make sure I do that. Why? Because I want to be clean when I partake of this, these elements and confessing the sin. So, anyway, continuing here, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, Peter and those that were with him. Also, these were the ones who saw what happened. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift, Doria, from the Holy Ghost. Now salvation is not poured out. Salvation is a birth. This was poured out upon the Gentiles. And the evidence was not for Cornelius. You know, Cornelius was rejoicing in what he was hearing, that, hey, as a Gentile, I'm going to get to enjoy some blessings that I was excluded from having in the past. When they began to speak in tongues, when, you know, the Gentiles began to speak in tongues, it was for whom? Peter and the other Jews that were of the circumcision. In other words, they were convinced that only Jews could get this, and no Gentile could enjoy ruling and reigning in the kingdom. And God had to convince them, and the way He convinced them was to allow Cornelius and his entourage of people to be able to speak in tongues. Because in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Gentiles were excluded as far as the kingdom was concerned. Here in Acts chapter 10, about 15 years after Paul had been preaching to Gentiles, Peter's finally convinced. Can you imagine an apostle struggling for 15 years, I believe it's about 15 years, with what Peter, or what Paul was doing, that he didn't like. Peter had a problem with it, and the Lord helped him get it. And the reason why the Lord helped Peter get that truth is because the Lord gave Peter the keys to what? The kingdom of heaven. And Peter used the keys of the kingdom of heaven right here to open the door and put it in. He did that also in chapter 8 to whom? The Samaritans. Because Peter went down when the Samaritans responded to that message. Okay? So, in Acts chapter 11, verse 18, it says, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Just turning over a new leaf, repentance doesn't get you saved, but repentance does help you to live or to become just so you can live by faith and have life and become the kingdom. Now this is important. Acts 2:33. Jesus received the promise. Did you know that? He received the promise. What was the promise? Life for the age. Acts 2:33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received heiress of the Father, the promise from the Holy Ghost, He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Jesus received the promise from the Father. Is Jesus Christ going to rule and reign? Yes, indeed. He will be King of kings and Lord of lords. In Acts chapter 2, verse 31, it says, He seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul shall not be left in Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. When Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, his body went in the tomb. His spirit went to be with the Father, and his soul went to where? Hades. The place of the dead. The place where Abraham and Lazarus and the rich man were. And I personally have persuaded the thief on the cross as well. Because in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Jesus went to paradise. In 1 Peter 1:21, bringing this out because when God exalted Jesus Christ, he gave him glory. And this verse tells me that I need to have hope in God the Father that I too may one day enjoy exalted glory in his coming kingdom. Who by him do believe, present tense, in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And this is God the Father. So, the gift is not for all, but for the many. Verse 16 of Romans 5. And not as it was by one that sinned, that is, all have sinned, so is the gift. Doria, age-lasting life for the many. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Adam condemned the world because of his sin, and that sin is passed on all of us, and we're all condemned. For all have died. But the gift, the charisma, the grace gift of age-lasting life, is of many offenses. Now that was difficult for me to grasp until I could see that the word of is the Greek word ek, and it's out of many offenses. And by the way, you know what the word offenses comes from? It comes from the Greek word or the verb to fall away. And that's what's found in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6. Those who fall away and don't return, don't repent, they will never be approved. It's impossible to renew them again to repentance. So what is, these many offenses, these many falling aways, that just simply means when I get caught up in sin, I'm falling away. And I need to change swiftly. And I want us to appreciate the fact that just falling away once doesn't do it. You get caught up in the sin once, or twice, or 10 times, I don't know how many times. Moses, I know, only one time. You know what? I don't have the privileges of Moses. I'm not talking to God face to face like Moses did. God didn't pass by me this morning. You know what I'm saying, like it happened in Moses' life. Anyway, 2 Peter 3:9, and the Lord is not slack concerning the promise of him. He's not quick on the draw. He's not quick on the trigger when it comes to the promise. And you're changing your life. He gives his time. As some men count slackness for shortness, but is long-suffering to usward. Now this is saved people, people that are been called into his kingdom. He is long-suffering to us, not willing that any of us should perish. That's the death. He doesn't want any of his kids who have been called into his kingdom in glory to lose those positions, be denied the privilege of having dominion over the earth like Adam had and lost. To lose the promise, the gift. But that all should come to repentance. And if we come to repentance, we will not be chargeable. So, let me just say this. Gift is undescribable. eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God hath prepared for them that love him. You know what? You haven't thought about it, and I haven't thought about it, and we're none of us are going to work together to work it all out. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. And there's a definite article D before it. So it's talking about age-lasting life, and this is an undescribable gift. You can't even imagine what it's going to be like, ruling and reigning with Christ in his coming kingdom. Man, I tell you, that gets me excited to think that I do not have the words or the thoughts to envision what it's going to be like in his coming kingdom. I mean, I can see the coronation in England of a king, of a queen. And I tell you, you know, it is jewelry and pomp and circumstance and all that goes with it. She's a pauper when it comes to the coming kingdom. She's a beggar. So, what am I supposed to be doing? 1 Peter 4:10. This is application. And this is what you're supposed to be doing, okay? As every man has received the gift, the grace gift, age-lasting life, even so minister, present active, the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know what I mean? I need to be ministering to you this truth, these thoughts. Why? To encourage you to continue to endure and not to quit. And it goes, and it's a two-way street. I can fail. And I need your encouragement. You can fail. You need encouragement. Because we do all want to stand here, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and you will do it. And the Lord help us to be faithful. Father, I just pray that you bless the message to each of our hearts. May we stand in your presence approved, qualified to rule and reign. Thank you, Lord. You called us, not because we have any merit of our own, because we're good, because you wanted to. And we thank you, Lord, that you did it. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to believe it and respond to it immediately. Again, thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that guides us in the truth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.